disappoints. He's, I can't think of a better person to inject some humor into a long week, and I'm not sure if I still have a brain left in here and all the conversation. My vocabulary shrunk, even though I've learned a whole lot today and the rest of this week. He's a filmmaker, a satirist, an actor, a director, and really kind of a digital distribution activist in a lot of ways. Let's all hate Toronto and Albert.
Thank you very much. I should point out the film is called Let's All Hate Toronto, actually. Listen, I just want to, I'm going to make this very fast, but I should warn you that it is a little bit grave, but I feel like it's sort of necessary what I have to talk about. I was very honored to be, to be asked to do an end note. I've never thought of myself as a kind of end note-ish person, but there is kind of something a little bit end note-ish about what I'm going to talk about. There were some panels today that I thought recently at Hot Docs I thought were kind of interesting names. One, of course, was putting the fun in factual, which I thought, you know, kind of a contradiction in terms. But what I wanted to talk about actually very briefly is that in an Edenotish kind of way is that I actually see that, you know, the kind of the debate we had today, some of the amazing kind of issues, is a sign of tremendous health. This is a very, in a strange way, healthy industry. I don't think that we necessarily all have healthy pocketbooks. But there's a tremendous amount of sort of debate. There's a tremendous amount of energy. Somebody pointed out to me the other day that the joke was that Michael Moore really did it, you know, incredible amounts. For making the documentary popular. And somebody pointed out that even a documentary calling Michael Moore an asshole is popular. And that's a sign, I would say, of health overall in the industry. I would say that this debate between sort of the digital world and the former television world is even itself a sign of strange health, even though I found it interesting that there's a lot of sort of dead duck conversations. Like, you know, what I learned about dead ducks today was that not only are television networks apparently soon to become dead ducks, commissioning editors are on their way to becoming dead ducks as well, which actually I disagree with slightly. I think that these people do have a purpose and that it will soon become clear maybe what it is. I'm kidding, actually. I'm just going to say one thing. One thing about weird about being a documentary filmmaker, and I'm sure that you guys know this, is that our job is to predict the future. Strangely enough, I mean, that's what they want you to do. They want you to sort of like arrive with a film idea that is going to last a few years, and you're supposed to see well into the future. And what's interesting about it is I've always sort of thought, me myself, I'm not bad at this. A while back I predicted that this guy, George Bush, that he's not so smart, and other people might realize this. That was a while ago, actually, and I'm glad to see it's come about as a trend. But the one thing I'm going to say that kind of distressed me is I've recently found this sort of ability to predict the future has become somewhat painful. I don't know if other people are experiencing this, which is that when you look into the future, it stops being as fun as it used to be. And one example I was going to bring up actually here is if you just go on Google today and you go to Google News, I suggest you do this actually, and put the word in Google News, put the word, I thought this is funny, is the definition of agoraphobia, by the way, is kind of funny. But if you put Google News in and you put the word bees up, you'll make a shocking discovery, which is that bees all across North America, they're noticing, are dying in astronomical numbers. It's hard to actually get an exact estimate, but they're talking about the bee population of North America is vanishing. Basically, what's happening apparently is the bees are sort of leaving their hives and they're never coming back. Somebody said, well, maybe they're just going to find themselves, or they're wandering the world for once. They don't have to, they sort of like left the queen bee and they're trying to learn. But the truth is, they appear to be dying. They're just not coming back. One theory, there's a number of theories about why it is. One is that they maybe can't find their former hive. Another is that it is a fungus. But whatever the theory is as to why they are dying, the scary part is that if you look at sort of the statistics that say, well, does anyone know what bees do in our ecosystem? Well, they pollinate almost all our crops. And they're talking about maybe a 60% drop in the potential North American sort of crop yield as a result of bees dying. When I saw this, it took my breath away. I thought, is this how it starts, so to speak? And you look into it a little bit deeper and you realize, well, maybe it's not so complicated, or sorry, may not be so bad. There are these interesting groups of people that travel around with beehives and actually pollinate areas where there are no bees. So you see they're already working on sort of like sort of in-between solutions. But I was going to ask a few questions here, and I thought this is relevant. To me, this is important as filmmakers, that I really feel that reality is over here, and sometimes sort of commissioning editors and maybe television priorities is over there. And it's nowhere more clear in terms of the sort of immediate future of the world. And I want to do a little test on this audience. I think this bee thing is just one example of how, unfortunately, the world, the normal world, is fading fast. I like to, you know, I'm a person who's always been, who's objected to the status quo, but I've recently become a big fan of the status quo because I think it's in a lot of trouble. And I would just ask this question to you. Our normal state of affairs, which is this sort of lovely world that we've created with electricity and cars and food for most people, I guess, and a reasonable amount of wealth and some sharing of, you know, political power. How long do you think this normal state of affairs, in your opinion, I'm just going to query you, is going to last? You can say forever, but how long would you say it is going to last? Anybody want to hazard a guess?
10
or 15? I heard 5 years. 30 years, some optimism here. 10? 10 to 12? 100. Glad to hear it. Anyone, so what would, yes? 2. Anyone else? 20 minutes. It's happening right now. It's, the future is already a dead duck, apparently. Well, see, don't you think it's kind of interesting that, you know, we feel on, I don't say an average, if you average the 100 years guy in, you kind of change things, but it seems to be on average we're around 20 years that of the lovely sort of normal existence that we have is going to disappear. It's not just the bees that are dying, they say the birch trees are already going. I'm not saying this sort of to be depressing, because I think the world has always been in a lot of transition and it is strange. I just think as an industry, wouldn't it be right that we face this stuff directly? I was going to put up another word that I thought might be interesting, was the word denial. So I'll ask you another question. How many people would describe our society or even today's events as signs of a culture that is in denial? I would say that's about 40%. So we've got about 20 years. We've got a culture in denial. My question is, as filmmakers, as people who set trends, who break through, you know, who try to inform the public, what should we be doing? I think this bee thing actually is sort of an interesting example, because I sort of thought, well, if I was a commissioning editor and I knew about this bee thing, how would the industry normally respond? Can somebody explain, like, so for example, somebody came to the TDF and said, the bees are dying, I'd like to do an exciting documentary. It's a compelling story with great characters. I'm going to shoot it in HD. How do you think the industry would respond to that story? How fast would that film get turned around? Anybody hazard a guess? 3 years, somebody said. Yeah, two, three years probably. In the case of this story, should this story be done in 3 years? No, I don't think so. And what I think, how should this story and other stories get done if the industry in the way that it normally works is not going to do it? How should it get done? These questions are a bit hypothetical. I wish I could say there's an obvious answer. But, community-based level with our tremendously profitable $8 billion TELUS cell phones. Which is a good point. Yes. So, excellent suggestion. So the idea is that somehow a website is created. It puts the commissioning editors agree. They have to agree at some point that yes, the popular idea will somehow be turned into a film. We'll get behind it. People vote, and then it becomes a priority. Is that roughly what you're saying? Yes, Judy.
People will say that they want to watch, coming from an arts broadcaster, that they want to watch jazz on television, that they want to see opera, full-length opera on television, and they don't. I mean, they won't watch it when you give it to them. They'll watch a 5-minute operatic short. That we know from start to finish, but you just try feeding them. So if I was going to be on that, you know, I'd say people are going to vote for what they know is the important subject, the, you know, serves their conscience intellectually, emotionally. But when the time comes to actually sit down and watch it, that does not necessarily mean that they're going to invest the time. They might come out and see it at Hot Docs, but that's a marginal audience. Well,
you know,
it's so easy to dump on the broadcasters, so I won't join in.
I would put, not only is it easy to dump on the broadcasters, it's fun. Yes.
If you wanted to get the message about the bees out like instantly, because it's so important and you want people to get aware of it, the model seems right now is that you sort of like make something sort of with, you know, get an old John Belushi sort of clip playing a killer bee, and in that you put, you know, the important message, and you get a hook to get it on YouTube, and you'll get millions of people to watch it. Maybe it may get lost in the clutter, but if you want to get that stuff out right now, you're not going to get paid for it, you know, you're not going to make any money doing this, but if you're determined to get the message out, that seems to be the avenue to do it tomorrow.
I mean, let me ask you this: as climate change kind of accelerates and we see more of these things, what kind of documentaries, in your opinion, need to be made? Meaning, you know, as water rises, or as, for example, this year somebody claimed that there's a change in viruses, that people are getting different kinds of colds as a result of kind of the ecosystem being messed up. I don't know if it's true or not, but sort of an interesting story. So that would be an example of, that's kind of a documentary that needs to be turned around kind of quickly. But what kind of film should be made? Somebody said the other day, Where the Water is Safe to Drink. That would be kind of a good film. I was going to ask another question, too. On this sort of general subject of these issues, does anyone get the feeling that it's sort of the story of we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? And I was going to ask that maybe a theme for next year's Agora could be, is bullshit on the Titanic a dead duck? Yes.
Yeah, answer your question of what kind of documentary should be made now, I'd love to see a satirical documentary on the climate change denial industry.
Yeah, I know.
Because it
would be very funny.
I mean, there is a lot of comedic material to work with.
Yes.
And these guys are basically perpetuating the greatest lie ever told.
Yes.
And it's funded by the fossil fuel industry.
Yes.
The only reason these guys have a voice is because the mainstream media is giving them that voice, but they have no credibility within the scientific community whatsoever.
You know what's something I thought, like, here's... I couldn't believe that no one sort of made much of this, but you know the day that you know, the UN report came out that said, you know, pretty well 100% climate change is happening? I think it was the same day that Exxon announced the biggest profits in the history of profits. Yeah. And I thought that'd be a good starting point for a documentary. Yes. I have also, and maybe a side question to this too, you know, documentary filmmakers compete a little bit, it's just natural for us to. I'm wondering if that paradigm is necessary too, as issues become more survival oriented or more human oriented. Do we need to compete as much as we do? Sorry, I should let this person speak.
I'll be quick. In terms of what should be covered in terms of climate change, well, I happen to be a freelance journalist covering health and environment and economy. And in my view, I'm really getting tired of those sort of gloom and doom stories. And now we got to focus on solutions, because the lobby groups that you're talking about, indeed, and there's an amazing documentary, the Everything's Cool documentary that was playing, that touches on that. But they're playing, and people, when you keep telling them gloom and doom, they shut their eyes. They don't want to hear that. I've got a real buddy of mine. I had to tell him 5 times to watch The Inconvenient Truth, and he lives in San Francisco, which is a fairly sort of non-conservative place. So people don't want to hear bad news, they want to hear solutions. And there are lots of solutions, except that they're still under the radar. But and it's good for business. It's good for the bottom line, which is also another theme that the against climate change lobby groups are using, is that we saw that yesterday here in the headlines with the new federal government plan.
I saw a funny thing at the putting the fun and factual panel where somebody said, "Hey, you know this big thing about green. It's a huge trend right now. Yes, there's a lot of green programming, but you know what? It's going to be gone in 2 years." And what I thought was funny about that was like, "Wow, that's talk about positive. That means obviously climate change will be resolved in 2 years, and we can all move on to carnivals and popcorn."
Neil Sealing again. I was going to say to your point, I mean, I agree with it. You know, there's some people I know that are helping to lead, like, efforts to do multi-billion-dollar investments in alternative energy in the northern United States, not waiting for the government to do it. And the principle is inclusive abundance is their little code word for proactive, pro-green, make it better, enough of the rest, you know, move on and do it better, find the investment. And I thought, I was kind of thinking about even using that in talking about these sessions as far as the independent documentary community too, inclusive abundance, you know, instead of the broadcaster, that funder, the ones who don't even fund that we can be mad at don't give us money. You know, it's like, why can't money, the inclusive abundance come from within? You know, too. I mean, I'll tie it into that. It's like it starts at home kind of stuff, and it's also there's assets in the room. There's assets that can be put forward to save the planet and save a culture, et cetera.
Maybe I can ask two more questions. One is, I think that's a very good point about the doom and gloom. There's sort of an idea that the case has been made. You know, people know how serious the situation is. Maybe they feel powerless. What kind of films can we make that actually can be encouraging to people, empowering, inspiring, hopeful? So that's the first question. Maybe I should want to just leave it there. I know that you wanted to say something. Yes. The hopeful person in the
the hopeful person. My name's Barbara Jones. I do television and new media. And I think one of the themes that I heard here today that I would stress among my filmmaking peers is the importance of certainly not beating on the broadcasters, but appreciate them as one form of distribution, but there's many forms of distribution, and we're seeing those here today, and I think it's incumbent on us to explore those distribution models as sources of funding in the same way that you look at any other piece of content and tap into the right foundation that may be appropriate to help tell your story. Look in the distribution models to help express those stories across multi-platforms as well. And my little plug is charterofrights.ca. Please check it out. We were funded by the Bell Fund. Thank you, Andra. And that piece of content doesn't make sense for television. We did a documentary in 11 languages, and I look at that as an hour-long commercial for the website.
I know that I'm running out of time, so I just want to say, obviously, I mean, it's the start of a conversation. What's interesting is we'll probably see a lot of you next year, and it'll be kind of interesting to see what's happened. And anyways, I think those suggestions were excellent, particularly like there's some very focused, concrete suggestions. If we have time, I don't know if, go ahead, Peter.
Well, we don't, we have 3 seconds, really. I'd like to thank you, Albert, and everybody loves Albert, everybody hates Toronto. company in Toronto, Montreal, and my partner's been trying for 6 years to make this film about the bees. He's a beekeeper. It comes from that experience, and we can't get any money from it. We got a little bit of money to make a 15-minute trailer. It's taken that many years. Maybe he's close to the subject. But the real reason that I think I've heard lately that the bees are dying is really because of the same technology we're talking about, which is really, this is the truth, as far as I can see. The cell phone towers that are now ubiquitous are having an effect on the little mites that seem to be the major cause of the mass suicide. And so the same technology we're talking about, TELUS making its $80 million on, is also $1 billion on, is, and the same ones that liberate me and could cause a revolution in the streets of the Philippines a few years ago by the students getting together and telling each other to meet in this town square, 400,000 strong, to overthrow a corrupt government, is the same cell phone that can put a documentary on it, produced by our colleagues in the film board, or a little image I have of Michael, our friend from Primitive, brand new twins, about 20 days old. So this is why we do the Doc Agora, and this is why we do answer your questions about the bees. So thank you. We're going to go be in Washington with the next iteration of this at the Silver Docks. But there are lots of questions, obviously, but go make the answers to your questions, or go up to the Duke of York pub just up there, which is like the reception for this, and we'll continue the dialogue up there. Just walk out that door and up St. Charles or St. George or to the Prince Arthur Street, to the Duke of York. Thank you, Amit. Pardon me?